Mr. Tumbleweed rolls on and on, never quite knowing just where it is he's bound. Yet he rolls on, warm breeze at his heels. I wonder just what it is he feels as he rolls on. He's learned to let the wind set his course. He's learned just who is the boss. He's learned the art of living, the art of living. Percolin Brooks on a dancing spree, bounded by banks, confined and yet free, slipping, sliding, tumbling down, leaving her mark where her feet touch the ground. Constantly changing, always the same. That may be confusing, but she's not to blame. He that didn't be, but he that didn't be. Being dragged on by a force she can't see, yielding in spite of its invisibility. She's learned the art of living, the art of living. Boulder sitting on a hill, none knows how he got there, nor probably ever will, but that don't seem to bother him none. Just content soaking up the sun, or rain or snow, or darkest light, don't seem to much matter if it's day or night. For eons he has sat and will sit where he's at. He ain't a budging. Great Granite Buddha might be wiser than we, calmly contemplating what has been will be, the art of living. The art of living. Great Granite Buddha might be wiser than we, calmly contemplating what has been will be, the art of living. The art of living. The art of living. Whoa, living. The art of living. Living. The art of living. The
And welcome to Talkin' Music. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and I'm here with Paeonia musician Steve Clissett, and he's here solo today. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
But you also play with a group called Clissett and Company that consists of Pete Jacobs on upright bass, Josh Livaday on lead guitar, Gal Murrum on bouzouki, and Justin Hess on drums. And you guys are going to be playing at Louie's on Friday, June 15th.
Yep, out there on the patio.
Very nice. So you've been a musician for 50 years, I read in your bio.
Technically, my mom says I've been singing since I was 9 months old. So
yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
I know it usually starts early. Like if it's going to happen, it happens pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it start? What was your sort of first introduction?
Well, you know, I sang in church choirs and stuff like that when I was younger. But as far as getting into playing the guitar and writing music, turns out that my birthday's the day after Christmas. And so I was 11, going to be 12 the next day. And my parents gave my older brother, a guitar for Christmas. And he never played it. I just kind of took it from him and took it over and just became somewhat enraptured with the instrument. And it's been one of those kind of interesting processes that I've gone through. Somebody asked me at one point in time, were you disciplined as a musician? And, you know, discipline has this kind of connotation that you're doing something you don't want to do. And it wasn't that way for me. I would spend hours and hours and hours playing the guitar and sticking my ear on the top of it and listen how it sounded on the inside. And things like that. So from the age of 12, I've been playing guitar and kind of started writing, I would say, somewhere around 14 or so, and have been happily pulled along by the muse on a regular basis, which is a treat.
And lyrically, you say that you're a hopeful optimist. And I was listening to your music, and definitely you're keeping it positive. And if you're trying to keep it positive, you run into the danger, I would think, of either sounding Pollyanna, like it's forced, or maybe coming off as cliche. So it's almost like there's got to be a real art to keeping it positive.
I think there is. I mean, I tend to be a really positive person anyway, and not that I don't see some of the horrors of life and haven't written about that kind of stuff, because I came out of the folk tradition, you know, Joan Baez and Richie Havens and all of these great, you know, Dylan. And, you know, I mean, I learned all of that stuff. And Pete Seeger, one of the classics of protesters, you know. And yet, I guess the point being is that there's a place at which if you don't put it out into the universe for us all to hear it differently, then it'll just stay the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really kind of what I feel drawn to. And it's fun. I feel grateful. I feel honestly blessed to have been gifted with this opportunity to pull from wherever it comes from in the universe, you know, these songs that I feel gifted and directed to.
Right. And you also consider yourself fortunate that you had an accident in high school that sort of set you down a different path than you were going. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I was quite the jock when I was younger. I played all sports, you know, football, baseball, gymnastics. I mean, pretty much anything that was there, I was interested in it, you know, track and field, but my real joy was basketball, and I worked really hard at it, and I got really, really good. And when I was a junior in high school, we had our last scrimmage before the team was going to be picked, the final cut, and I was the guy. I mean, I could shoot with both hands, right or left, from 20 feet out, and I was a great defensive player, and I could do all of that. And we had this scrimmage, and I stole the ball four times, scored the first 6 points, and the last time I hit the ball, I smacked it kind of hard and went dashing down the court and grabbed the ball just before it went out of bounds, tossed it to the guy who was running behind me, who put it in the basket, and I proceeded to run full tilt boogie into the big doors that the gym dividers went into the wall, and there were these big oaken doors that hadn't been closed, and I ran into it, right into my right shoulder.
Ow.
And trashed my shoulder. Luckily, I didn't totally break it, but my collarbone I had a fracture in, and I never quite recovered from it, you know, physically for a while. But the biggest thing was that I had been the guy, and everybody was like, you know, oh yeah, he's the man. And then as soon as I hurt myself, there was this vacuum that anybody who wanted to be the next guy in line was happy to go into. And it, what came to me personally over the years, I've realized this, it wasn't in the moment. I still played on the team because I was very good at defense. But what happened was, is I kind of realized over time how quickly and how fickle we all are, that in the moment, you know, it's like we're happy that somebody had something happen to them because now we get to be the guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, the competitive drive was so much part of that. And it affected me enough that I didn't play competitive sports in that environment anymore.
Right.
It just, the impact of that and the way people responded just put me off.
Like, well, he's finished. We'll,
right, exactly.
We'll move on to the next
exactly,
guy.
You know?
Yeah.
And so what ended up happening was, is because of that, I didn't play any sports the next year. And that was my senior year. And had it been how it is now, I probably would have graduated when I was a junior because I had everything done. I only had three classes technically that I had to take. So there were, you know, gym and, you know, English and social studies, and they were electives that weren't serious classes from a scholarly standpoint. And so I had five periods out of the day that were free, and I got to sing. Five periods out of eight as a senior in high school. And talk about a wonderful opportunity. I was also blessed to have an incredible choral arts teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Who now, she's the choral director of the Long Island Philharmonic Choir. And we had a magical choir that was the best in New York State at the time. And it was so good that what she did was, is she would get up at a concert, and we had four quartets that would be separated by maybe 10 feet or so. And she would get up and give us one note, and she would sit down. And she did not direct us, and she let us sing. And talk about an incredible experience from the ability to listen. Because
mm-hmm.
to me, music is an act of listening. I can play anything, but if I can't hear it first, then there's no way I can produce it. And so that was an incredible gift, to be in that arena, to have that opportunity to sing as much as I did, because it strengthened my voice in a way that very few people have the opportunity for. And then the that rarefied kind of opportunity where you really learn how to listen and blend and pay close attention to the people that you're singing with. And even though I'm here, you know, solo, that's one of the things that I carry forward and really enjoy about playing with the people that I play with, because they're all listeners, which
right.
is really cool. It's just amazing, because then the music just becomes this wonderful combination of all these people expressing and listening to each other and seeing how we all fit together. So yeah, it's really nice.
Oh, great. And I'm here with Steve Clissett, and he's going to be playing with his group on Friday, June 15th at Louis in Paonia, if you'd like to catch him. And could we hear another song, Steve?
Sure. So this song is distinctly different than the last one in the sense that songs come when they come, you know, and sometimes you just can't help yourself. And this one was sort of like that. It's quite often I'll pick up the guitar to go before I go to work and kind of just get a chance to, you know, just settle in and remember to move forward. And since I don't do this for a living, but it still sings to my heart in a big way. And this one actually came one morning when I was sitting on my couch just about ready to go. I mean, I was supposed to leave in about 5 minutes. And so I just somehow fell onto this rhythmic thing that was incredibly simple. And within 5 minutes, I had the melody in the first verse. but I had to go to work. So I took off, I went to work, and then I had to come back at first break so that I could write the whole thing down because it was already done.
Uh-huh. It was just in your head, ready to go.
Yeah.
Huh?
It just happened. So gonna stand up strong and a steady inside. Gonna stand up strong and a steady inside. Like a blend of the oak and the willow, no matter how the winds of change might howl. Gonna stand up strong and a steady inside. I'm gonna be calm and peaceful inside. Gonna be calm and peaceful inside. Like a still on a lake up in high mountains, reflecting all the glory therein. Gonna be calm and a peaceful inside. I'm gonna shine light and a shine light and easy inside. Like a soft glow in the dark next to a doorway that guides the wanderer to warmth within. Gonna be calm and a peaceful strong and a steady inside. Gonna stand up strong and a steady inside. Like a blend of the oak and the willow, no matter how the winds of change might howl. Gonna stand up strong and a steady. I'm all gonna shine light and a be calm and a peaceful inside. Said I'm gonna stand up strong and a steady. Said I'm gonna shine light and a easy. Said I'm gonna be calm and a peaceful. I'm gonna stand up strong and a steady. Yes, I'm gonna shine light and a easy. Yes, I'm gonna be calm and a peaceful inside. inside.
And that is Steve Clissett here at KBNF playing some music for us, getting ready for a show coming up on June 15th in Paonia at Louis with a nice group of other local musicians. I noticed that you, in your bio, you said that you adore Joni Mitchell. She's like your top.
Absolutely.
Top favorite.
Mm-hmm.
I can definitely hear some influence in there. I think Joni Mitchell's one of those artists, too, that no one else ever kind of was replicated her. Like, there's no, it's just a completely unique thing that she does. What is it that you love about it? And what do you think, not just in terms of the way she sounds and the way she plays, but what is it about her that makes her so unique?
She has an incredibly unique perspective that shows itself up throughout her entire career. And I mean, for me, I was so captured by her early on, you know, that I spent hours like rethreading the vinyl on my dad's stereo back a few threads so I could work through and try and figure out what the heck was she doing here at the end of this, you know? What's the sound of that and how can I reproduce that? And that's when I discovered open tunings, which I play almost exclusively in. I can play standard, but I just don't. You know, I'm not drawn to it that much. And so that part of it, sound-wise, just captured me. There's a component of playing in open tunings, especially the way that she did, that kind of opened the guitar up, mm-hmm. makes it bigger and fuller. Still only got six strings.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things that happen with it from a theory standpoint that has to do with inversions of chords and also notes that you wouldn't expect. There's a chord that I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's all this stuff in there, you know, there's just a lot of room and a lot of things happening all at once, you know, that and there is kind of a not completely, but a bit of a sitarish, you know, Eastern Indian sort of quality to it, because you're playing a chord and the strings drone and carry and they're full, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As a lyricist, though, she's written, I think, what is the most amazing album ever written to me. And I admit, I'm biased towards Joni. You know, I'm sure other people have that. But her album, Hey Jira, which is this, in a place in her career that is really unique. It's this transition point between her traditional kind of folk roots, and then she was kind of heading towards the jazz end of things, you know. And it's sort of smack dab in the middle of it. And there's just these incredible lyrical, I mean, I don't know that there's a lyric in there that I don't like or doesn't impress me, you know. What comes to mind is it's as natural as the weather in this moody sky today.
Mm-hmm.
What an image. I mean, it's just like that says it all in just a tiny little, mm-hmm. you know, series of words. It's just so and she's incredibly honest, which is the other thing. You know, there's a lot of things that have to do with her life and her loves, and you know, and then she has, you know, one of the songs. I don't do a lot of her stuff. I'm not here to reproduce Joni, because that's not really possible.
Right.
You know, I'm not going down that road. But I always do an homage of Circle Game, which I consider to be one of her finest. You know, and it just speaks a truth. You know, we're all in this together. You know, it kind of tells a story of how we all grew up and where we are and where we're going and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So I was really kind of captured by that. And I really don't try to be sparse with my lyrics. I try to be clear with them. And I think she does that. I think mm-hmm. she really is that way.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I have a sweet place in my heart for her. And, And the best compliments I've ever gotten have happened three different times. One of which was recently, I was playing at Louis, and somebody came up to me and said, "So, I don't want to embarrass you, but I, you know, hope this is okay. You remind me of Joni Mitchell," and I just kind of grinned from ear to ear. It's
okay, wow, thank you. Couldn't have said
the more
anything
perfect
nicer.
Compliment.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
beautiful. Yeah. Well, let's hear one more song before you go. And I'm here with Steve Clissett. And thank you for coming by. And
well, thanks so much for having me. You know, I really appreciate the opportunity. I'll just play this one. It's along those lines of, you know, giving us another way of looking at ourselves. Because sometimes being self-reflective when we're being a little bit silly is a good thing, right? This one's called Crazy. Have you ever thought this world is a tad bit crazy? A little loony touch of madness in everyone. The spinning world out of control makes the focus hazy. Hard to be clear just what your next step will be upon. If we won the question puzzle, how or why can we stop this lemming march into our own demise? Or will the status quo that we have sown be the show that we're ever replaying? Only trying, always buying, verifying that we've not yet learned to love. Well, have you seen of late this life turn a wee bit scary? Would you have, could you grow some eyes in the back of you? If things we read and what we view hold some corollary, would it be peaceful or the fear someone's after you? If we won the question puzzle, how or why can we stop this lemming march into our own demise? Oh, will the status quo that we have sown be the show that we're ever replaying? Only trying, always buying, verifying that we've not yet learned to love. Have you ever thought this world is a tad bit crazy? A little loony touch of madness in everyone. The spinning world out of control makes the focus hazy. Hard to be clear just what your next step will be upon. If we won the question puzzle, how or why can we stop this lemming march into our own demise? Or will the status quo that we have sown be the show that we're ever replaying? Only trying, always buying, verifying that we've not yet learned to love. Only trying, always buying, amplifying that we've not yet learned to love. Only trying, always buying, nullifying that we might yet learn to love.